In our study of the Ten Commandments, we are now at commandment number four, and we find it in these verses 8 to 11 in Exodus chapter 20 that we have just read. The title I want to give to our meditation tonight is The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. For we do believe that this is ultimately what this commandment is drawing to our attention in the day and age that we live in. The first commandment tells us who we are to worship. The second will tell us how we are to worship this God. The third will tell us in what manner that we are to worship this God. And the fourth commandment will tell us when we are to worship. And you might well know that the Ten Commandments are split into two. The first four commandments deal with principally our relationship with God. And the remaining six deal principally with our relationship one with another. But it may well be regarded that this fourth commandment is somewhat of a bridge between the first four and the last six, because this commandment not only addresses the individual, but it addresses heads of households, it addresses employers, that they have a duty and responsibility to make sure that those under their care and attention are able to honour and to obey this commandment. Again, just to remind us that despite what the world will teach us, we are to look at these commandments and realise that all of these commandments are ultimately for our own good. Ultimately, they are for our own well-being. And if we disobey these commandments or despise them or think little of them, it will be to our own detriment. And of course, we can expect to incur the wrath of God, because ultimately these commandments have come from God, but they are to be looked upon as for our own well-being and welfare. Now, basically, this commandment teaches us that one day in seven is to be devoted to God's worship. Now, it's a perfectly reasonable commandment when you think of God's sovereignty and his rule over us, that there would be nothing wrong for him to demand that we worship him 6 days in the week, and he would leave one day for our own use. But it's actually the other way around. He has given us 6 days to work and to do all the things that we should and need to do. He has given us plenty time, and he's only demanding one day in the week whereby we are to be devoted to his worship and to his service. 6 days shalt thou labour. It's interesting, as before we even go into the commandment here we find that God is in some sense encouraging us and exhorting us to make sure that our days are not filled with idleness. I don't believe for one moment that this commandment is teaching us that we are to work 6 days, that we are to work 6 days in our secular employment. That may well be the case that some choose to do that, but I don't believe the commandment's actually teaching us that we must work 6 days. But surely it is teaching us that we are to be active and busy during these 6 days. I believe the commandment is teaching us that we have 6 days to do all our work and all the other things that we want to do. But these days should not be days of idleness. Now, of course, obviously, when people get older and they get retired, they're not expected to work and labour as they did when they were fit and younger. No one is suggesting that for one moment. But you get the point here. 6 days shalt thou labour. You have 6 days to do all that you need to do and want to do, and these days should not be days of idleness. 6 days shalt thou labour. Governments are always trying to give more time to the population for leisure. 5 day week, 4 day week. I think, I'm not certain about this, maybe even some have hope for a 3 day week. That kind of philosophy is repugnant to the Bible. The Bible would have us working, busy, doing things. 6 days shalt thou labour. Well, we want to look at this commandment this evening. The Catechism will ask the question, what is required in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. It's important for us to realize that if we are ones who come to the house of God, say, in the morning, we attend the morning service, and maybe we think that in some sense we have kept the Sabbath. Well, it's a Sabbath day. It's a 24-hour period. It's a normal day. Now, it does not mean to say that you must come to the house of God twice on the Lord's Day. We're not saying that, people. Circumstances vary. But let us not think for one moment that if we spend an hour or an hour and a half in the house of God in the morning or the evening, that we have in some sense kept the Sabbath day. It is a day. It's to be a day devoted to the public and the private worship of God. And we're allowed, obviously, as we shall look upon it, we're allowed to do undertake works of necessity and works of mercy. That's why we read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. There the Lord Jesus Christ was criticized. He was taken to task by the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. Because as far as they were concerned, as far as they interpreted this commandment, the Lord Jesus and his disciples had broken this commandment. On one Lord's Day, or one Sabbath, I should say, they went, and as they were going through a field of corn, the disciples plucked some of the corn off and rubbed it in their hands, and they started to eat it. It's important for us to realize that they did not break the commandment by stealing. What they did was perfectly lawful and legitimate. But what the scribes and the Pharisees believed that they had done is, by rubbing the corn in their hands, they undertook some work, and therefore they broke, in their eyes, the fourth commandment. Well, Jesus goes on to tell them, what did David do when he was in need, when he had no food, and he was given the showbread, the holy bread that only the priest should eat? And did he break the fourth commandment? No, he did not, because it was of necessity. He was hungry. The bread was there. And then the other occasion we find in the synagogue, when Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath day, there they would accuse Jesus of working when he healed someone. But that was an act of mercy. And these things, necessity and acts of mercy, are things that are allowed and even encouraged on the Lord's Day. or the Sabbath day. So, we want to look at this commandment and to see what the Bible teaches us regarding this, because if you know anything about the scribes and the religious leaders of the day and the time of the Lord Jesus, they added a mountain of regulations to the law of God. And they made keeping the commandments unbearable and impossible. And we want to make sure that we don't do exactly the same. Because as I said at the very beginning, these commandments are for our benefit. But the Jews, in their misplaced zeal and legalism, had turned these commandments into burdens. And Jesus had to correct their teaching and restore the commandments to the right place, that they would realize that the Sabbath was made for man and not the other way round. It was made for man. Well, I have three things that I briefly want to say from these verses. First of all, this commandment was created by God. Now, we know he wrote this commandment, as he wrote all of these commandments, with his own finger on stone, but that's not really what I mean when I say it was created by God. This commandment, friends, goes right back to creation. This goes right back to creation. Therefore, it is a what we would call a creation ordinance. Right back at the very beginning. This is when this commandment was given. But it wasn't given as a commandment then. It was simply given as a pattern for mankind to follow. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, it says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." We have the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. And God looked upon his creation at the end of the sixth day, and it was all very good. That was God's own verdict upon creation. Everything was perfect. Everything was in order. Everything was as it should be. Mankind, the very pinnacle of his creation, was there. And everything looked good from the divine eye, so that his verdict was, it's all very good. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested. He ceased to create. That's what it means. He ceased to create. There was nothing else to be done. He had finished all that was in his mind to do. And he set the pattern whereby he rested. He ceased. Now, God was in no sense tired. Let's not think that for one moment. He chose to create the world, the universe, in 6 days. God could have created the whole of creation in 6 seconds or 6 hours if he wished. But he chose to do it over 6 days. It wasn't because he would be tired out. Nothing like that. But therefore, he was setting a pattern for mankind to follow. And the original Sabbath day was created by God, that he would cease from his creation, and mankind were to fall into that pattern. And the whole idea of the Sabbath day, way back in Genesis, was that man would remind himself of the great work of creation. Mankind would normally be busy doing things that he had to do. Adam had to tend to the garden. And as mankind developed, we know what happened, but nevertheless, This day was going to come regularly, one in seven, when they were to cease from their work and they were to reflect upon the glory and upon the wonder and the beauty of God's creation, and we might also say God's providence. These were the things were to be uppermost in the mind of man. And this was created by God there right at the very beginning. It goes back to creation. That's why the commandment here says, remember the Sabbath day. God was not bringing something new to them. The likelihood was that during the time they were in Egypt, for that 400 years or so, when they were in Egypt, they would have almost forgotten all about the Sabbath day. They would possibly not be able to keep the Sabbath day. I'm led to believe that during the time they were in Egypt, the Egyptians had a 10-day week. And many nations have had experiments regarding the days of the week. And therefore, during the time they were in captivity, in bondage, the very fact of the Sabbath day would nearly be erased from their minds and memories. And that's why the commandment starts. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember it. Remember, this is God given at creation. And let's remind ourselves, friends, it was given to God, or it was given to Adam and Eve, who were in innocency, who were perfect, without sin at this time. It was given to them. And surely the obvious thing to say is, if Adam in his innocency, if Adam and Eve in their sinlessness needed this day, surely it's obvious to say that man in his sin needs it even more. Has not sin had a detrimental effect upon the health of mankind, whether it be our spiritual health, whether it be our mental health or our physical health? All of these things have suffered because of sin. And surely the point is abundantly clear. Adam, in his purity, he was to need this day. Surely all of Adam's descendants in their sin needed even more. It's difficult to back up what I'm going to say, but I'm sure you will agree. Because if these commandments are ultimately for our good, and if we don't obey these commandments, then it must surely affect us. And this is one commandment that has largely disappeared from the life of the nation. And sadly, we have to say that it has disappeared from the life of the church also. We know that as a congregation and as a denomination, we are ones who seek to observe all of these commandments, and we don't miss out any of them. We believe they're all very important. But many within the professing Christian church somehow think that there are no longer 10 commandments, there are only 9. They don't think that the 4th commandment has any relevance in our day and generation. Friends, the fact is, in many ways, with all our medical advances, we are, in some sense, very unhealthy. Our physical health is maybe not as good as it could be. We are getting weaker. Our mental health is a real problem, I'm led to believe, if I can believe what I hear in the media. It's even affecting our young people. And I would put a direct connection with the fact that this commandment has largely evaporated from the life of the church and of the nation. We tend to look upon the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, Sunday, as just another day. And then we wonder why all these things will come upon us. But it has drastically affected the spiritual life of the nation above all things. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no wonder our churches are half empty, or even less than half empty. There's no wonder. Why? Because people are not coming to the house of God, and they're not worshiping God, and they are not hearing God's word. Do you think that people will be converted ordinarily if they don't come and hear the word of God, if they're not under the means of grace? Do you think they will possibly be converted? Yes, we recognize God in his sovereignty can do wonderful things. He can be found by those who are not seeking him. We know that, and we believe it. But ordinarily, friends, that's what happens. People come to church. The word of God is proclaimed. And over a period of time, whether it's months, weeks, or years, the word of God works in them. But if they're absent from the house of God, and they're not under the means of grace, we cannot expect them to be converted. And therefore their spiritual life will know no life whatsoever. If there's ever to be any kind of revival, you will know when people start to come to the house of God again. And in some sense, honor the Sabbath day. Because this day was created by God. Secondly, this was made for mankind. Made for mankind. And what I mean that is, it was made for all mankind. All mankind. You know, there are some people in the church, and what do they say? Oh yes, this is the Jewish Sabbath. This was for the Jews and for the Jews only. Friends, that is not the case at all. Don't let anyone tell you that for one moment. Away back in creation, when God gave this commandment by an example, there were no Jews around. None whatsoever. It was Adam and Eve. And what's more, even the very commandment itself will tell us that this is not just for God's people, the Jews who came out of Egypt. Look at verse 10. We don't need to read it all, but look at it. Nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. What's that telling us? It's telling us that all of these people mentioned shall not work. Thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That stranger refers to the foreigner, to the non-Jew. And therefore, this commandment, friends, is for all mankind. And it's for all mankind of all time. This is given to mankind. We know that our Sabbaths in the ceremonial law. We know that. And as you know, the vast majority of the ceremonial law has been abrogated. It no longer applies. There was every seventh year was a Sabbath. What happened? Well, they didn't plant. They let the land go for a year, every 7 years. That's called a Sabbath. And then the year of Jubilee, when 50 years passed, that was called another Sabbath. When slaves were to be set free and debts were to be cleared, and many other things happened in that year of Jubilee, which was called a Sabbath. You see, in the ceremonial law, which pertains to the Jews only, there were Sabbaths. But this, friends, it does not pertain only to the Jew. This is for everyone. And that's what Jesus said in that account we read in Mark's Gospel. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath wasn't made for the Jew. Yes, the Jew was commanded to keep it, but so was everyone else. It's for man. It's for you. It's for me. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, thirdly, following on from saying it was made for mankind, it was made for man. There is a slight difference. It was made for his benefit. And the commandment outlines here that the individual is to obey it. The head of the household, he's to make sure that those under his care, that they were to obey it. And the employer was to make sure that he did not cause his employees to work on the Sabbath day. And therefore, it was for the good of the whole community. No one was to be exempted. And that's why we believe ultimately that this commandment was for the good of every single individual, without exception. Now you may well be asking there, as you sit there, why was the day changed? Because obviously here in Exodus 20, it's referring to the seventh day. And the seventh day, as you know, was Saturday. Well, there's a reason why it was changed. Let's just remind ourselves why it was given in the first place. It was given in order that man might look upon God's creation and that he might look upon the wonderful providence of God in creation. But something wonderful and glorious happened when the Son of God came and when he performed the work that he came to do. What was that? He suffered and died. He went to the cross. And he was put in a tomb. And the third day he rose victorious over the grave. And the Sabbath has been changed from Saturday to the first day of the week because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As our catechism says, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. It's very interesting, friends, when you look at the commandment here. It says in verse 8, first of all, remember the Sabbath day. Yes, it does go on in verse 10 to mention the seventh day. That's true. But the point is, remember the Sabbath day, and that would indicate that the actual day to be observed can be changed. And it was changed. The Lord Jesus said he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And there we do believe that he was telling, by implication, his disciples and the apostles that he had the power and the authority to change the day from the Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, to the first day of the week, which became the Christian Sabbath. A day when we recognize and remember the life, the death, and particularly the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he finished his great work of redemption. The first Sabbath was remembering the finishing of creation. The second Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, and the first day of the week, it is a reminder of the work of Christ that he finished. I wonder, do we realize, friends, that before the change, Christ did most of his miracles on the Sabbath day. If you go through the Gospels, you will find that this was a day that he ordinarily blessed. And more miracles are recorded, performed on the Sabbath day than on any other day. And after his resurrection, when the day was going to change from the seventh to the first, what do we find? Well, we find the resurrection happened on the first day of the week. And what do we find when the Holy Spirit came? It was on the first day of the week. We also find that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week. On numerous occasions, it was on the first day of the week. To Mary Magdalene, to those on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples, and then a week later, when Thomas was there, it was on the first day of the week. All of that information has been fed into the fact that Christ was wanting the day changed from the seventh to the first. We know as we go through the book of Acts that the church met on the first day of the week. We know we're in a time of transition in the book of Acts. And it would be true that the early disciples would possibly have attended the Sabbath services, the Jewish Sabbath services. But then they began also to meet on the first day of the week. There was a transition. And the point in time came when the Christian Sabbath was fully established, the first day of the week. Paul, we find in Troas, he was there preaching on the first day of the week. And what did they have? They had the communion service. They were eating bread on the first day of the week. And although we admit there is no express command in the Word of God for the change, yet by implication and by the behavior of the disciples, we can only recognize that Christ gave them that authority to do it. The book of Revelation, what do we find? The aged apostle John, the man who was full of love to the Lord Jesus, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we're told. That's the only time that the Christian Sabbath is called the Lord's day. It's in the book of Revelation. But that's more ammunition for us to realize that the day has been changed. And this day is for your soul's benefit. And this day is for your mental health benefit. And this day is for your physical health benefit. Because it's a day that God Himself has blessed. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Friends, the day is for you. It's a day to rejoice. It's a day for the soul to be fed. It's not to be a dreary day. And sometimes, maybe that's the kind of impression that we've given. It's not to be that kind of day. It's a day that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, that He has given us this time when we may lay aside the things that are normal and lawful on 6 days of the week, and we might engage in the worship of God and in His service, doing works of necessity and works of mercy. It's not a day of idleness. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily in having some rest. I don't think that's wrong at all. If you've been working all week as a laborer, physical work, there would be nothing wrong, I do believe, in having some rest. But it's not to be spent a whole day being idle. It's a day to be up and about, dealing with the matters of our soul. It's a day to be up and about and in the house of God and to be engaged in the worship of God. It's the Lord's day. It is, in some sense, friends, a foretaste of heaven. And examine yourselves as I draw my time to a close. Examine yourselves. If you find the Lord's day burdensome, if it is wearisome to you, if it is tedious to you, how will you manage in eternity? I'll close with this couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is your Christian life? How is it? If it's not doing too well, maybe we need to look at the fourth commandment and to remind ourselves it is the Lord's day and His alone. Amen. May God bless His word to us.